Okay, we're holding on Nunches Amud Beis, nine lines from the bottom by the true dot. And now we're going to have a highly interesting topic. Oh, hello. Now we're going to have a highly interesting topic that actually, among others, it's an ascetic, has a very long, detailed tshuva analyzing it. Amud Rav, Mekel Adam Kol Gufei B'Tara, a person is allowed to lighten all the hair off his body using a razor. Now, usually, when we use the word makel earlier in the Sefta, for example, and when we use it in Murray Cotton, for example, in connection with an oval, it meant to not literally shave it down all the way to the roots like you usually would with a razor. It just meant like cutting off some of it and leaving some of it behind. Here, that's not what it means, actually. Here, it actually means shaving with a razor.
All his body?
Well, so obviously not. We're obviously not talking about the hair, and we're obviously not talking about the hair and the beard, because then you have other issues as we talked about yesterday. But he called for meaning from the neck down, basically. The whole torso, you might say. There are mafarshim, and the Bach also brings such a girsa over here that actually this is sort of a direct continuation of the previous gemara. We ended off saying yesterday that. We were dealing with the whole issue of why it is that a mitzvah is allowed to shave, even if he's a nazir, and a nazir is not allowed to shave, even if he's a kohen and a kohen has a loisah sever esa about shaving his payas. So according to that girsa that the Bach brings, what the Gemara would be doing is continuing. Why are we saying that the esa of mitzvah is able to override those, even though normally we wouldn't say that an esa overrides a loisah sever and an esa? The reason is because Rav himself says that in general there's a certain kula with shaving, that you're allowed to shave your whole body using a razor.
So that's
the argument. In other words, therefore, you can't general, that would be the argument. The Gemara had ended up saying yesterday, you can't generalize from the case of Mitzorda and Nazir, or Mitzorda and Kohen, to all other cases. So yesterday we said their reason was because, Tosfos had mentioned, because the Esa of Mitzorda has a certain strength to it, because it's a matter of Shalom Bayis. But now, according to this Gusa, it's something else, rather. It's not a matter of that Mitzorda is stronger. It's not that it's stronger because of Shalom Bayis, but rather it's stronger because we do find in this other context that Rav is saying that in general, shaving with a razor, leaving aside the payas and beard for the moment, is not such an issue. However, the Gemara asks, may say, I have a contradiction. A braisa says, Hamaver beis hashechi or beis ha'erver. If somebody removes the hair from his armpits or from his pubic area, hareza loike, then he gets malchus. For reasons that we'll describe soon. Basically, because it's a matter of yubash geber. It's a man using a feminine kind of adornment. So how can Rav say you can use a razor on your whole body, which includes those areas? The answer is Hobatar Hobamisparayim. Okay, one's talking about a razor, one's talking about scissors. That the Braisa that's saying that you get malchus is talking about using a razor. Rav would be talking about using scissors. The Braisa would be talking about using a razor. Next question is, well, Rav Nami B'tar Kama, but Rav said a razor, what do you mean you're referring it only to scissors? The answer is Ke'entar. He means when you're using the scissors to give a close shave like what you would do with a razor. But you're not actually using a razor, you're still actually using scissors. The question basically was that Rav is saying you're allowed to shave your entire body with a razor, which includes the underarms and includes the pubic hair. But the Braisa is saying that you get malchus for that. So what is Rav saying then? So we're answering that Rav is giving you the heter to do it with scissors, and the Braisa is telling you not to do it with a razor.
He's used the word tar.
That's what we said, ke'en tar, that we're using a scissors to give a shave similar to what a razor would accomplish. But after all, it is scissors. That's the girsa that we have in front of us over here. On the side over here, there's a long note that says that actually the other posts can have a different girsa, that rather the difference is not that the Braisa is talking about using a razor and Rav is talking about using scissors, but rather that Rav is talking about the other parts of the body, not the Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva, but all the rest of it, the arms, the legs, etc.
But in that case, he would be saying
a razor, right? But the point is that according to that, we would be saying that even according to Rav, when he says your entire body, he doesn't literally mean your entire body. He means everything except for those areas.
Okay, my question was that
So we were saying the reason he's saying ain tar is because we were saying he's including the areas. But if he's not including the areas, then he could be saying
that's exactly that's what I'm saying. That's why we have a different girsa over here. The girsa we have is ha'avatar b'ha'mimisparayim, whereas according to the girsa of the poskim, among others the Rif and others, is that that Rav is giving you a heter for other evarim. Then the Rif goes on, the Rif's girsa goes on to say from this note over here that even with the other, even the other parts of the body, we have a braisa saying that it's not awesome in a Torah, but it's only awesome in a Drabbanon. So how can he say that you're allowed to? And the answer would be that it has to be Kain Tar. So you'd have both. In other words, according to the Rif's girsa, it's not just enough to say that Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva you can do with something other than a Tar. You can do with Misbarbayim or what have you. It has to be the Shechi and the Erva are off limits completely. For the other Evarim, Rav is saying you could only use scissors, nothing else.
Kain means
like you're using them like you would use a razor to give a close shave. If somebody removes his underarm or pubic hair, then he gets malchus. I have a contradiction. A braisa says that removing the hair, it presumably including those hair, is not awesome in a Torah, it's only awesome in a Drabbanan. So what do you mean malchus? Malchus would only be something in a Torah.
Even in those areas?
That's, we're assuming that the braisa means everything. The answer is my loikanami to call him a Drabbanan. You're right. When Rabbi Yochanan says that he gets malchus, he doesn't mean malchus in a Torah. He means malchus midrabbanan, machas mardus, in other words. Machas mardus is that the chachamim have discretion to give a person malchus when they see it, when they feel it's appropriate. Well, actually, we'll see something about it. We'll see a little short anecdote about it later on in Testament Aleph at the end. So according to that, so far now Tosfos points out what's the Gemara's problem with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Rabbi Yochanan has the previous braisa to support him. The previous braisa had said that if you remove the hair of Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva, you get malchus. So can't Rabbi Yochanan just say I follow that braisa? Why do we need to be durchus and say that instead he means malchus midrabbanan, that it's only also midrabbanan? The reason is Tosfos says because we would rather not make the braisas contradict each other. And furthermore, also, before I should point out that that Rabbi Yochanan being an Amora is expected to be more clear. The general rule is, Braisas can be sort of, they say something and it's not clear whether they mean Darais or Darabana, let's say. Rabbi Yochanan being an Amora is expected to clarify what he's saying more, because Amoraim is, you know, once the period of Amoraim was over, that's it, as far as from then on, when we have the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Midrashim and whatever written down, but there's, you know, the transmission of Torah Shavah Peh took a different form after that. So the Amoraim are expected to be clear because we depend on them for all future generations. So therefore, so it's more logical to assume, therefore, that the two braises are saying the same thing. And the Rabbi Yochanan is and Rabbi Yochanan when he says loiter, fine, we'll have to explain that he means midrabanan. Ikadamri, another version is Amr Rabbi Chiya ba'Aba Amr Rabbi Yochanan Hamav Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva Loiter Mishum Lo Yubash Gevasim Lasisha. The second version also says that he gets malchus, but here you can't say that Rabbi Yochanan would mean that it's only midrabanan, unlike the first time. Here, in the second version, it's clear that he means that it's also midaraisa, because he's quoting the actual pasuk, that a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing, which includes not just, as we're going to see soon, it includes not just women's clothing, it includes other kinds of adornments and body treatments and whatever that are done by women. So that would be daraisa. So there is, by the way, there is some discussion among the poskim. There is a general rule when we have a machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and we haven't finished the sugya, we still have a ways to go, but when the machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. So that being the case then, so far the halachas are going to have to be like Rabbi Yochanan. Which version of Rabbi Yochanan? The Rambam paskins according to the first version, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's only also midrabanan. And the Rambam goes further, and he says, actually, partly basing himself on a tshuva, Rav Shuda Gaon has a tshuva where they ask him what the din as far as removing underarm and pubic hair. And Rav Shuda says, in all yeshivas in Bavel for the last 200 or 300 years, all the chachamim have been doing that. And he says, basically, because in the times of the Gemara, it was the kind of thing that only women did. Therefore, the Gemara is calling it La Yovash Gever. On the other hand, in our time, it's commonly done by both men and women, so therefore it's no longer an issue of la yoba shever. It's no longer an issue of a man doing what only women do.
It means
clothing, but we're going to see soon that it also includes other things as well. But anyway, that's what Rav Shira says, and then based on that, the Rambam says that Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErver is only also midrabbanan, and even that only in places where only women do it. Because you have another opinion, you have other Rishonim who passed in like the second version of Rav Yechon, and that's also midaraisa. And actually, for example, the Rashba asks on the Shuva of Rav Shira, he says, later on, we're going to see, when we get to the end of the Amud, we're going to see a story that involves where we see that a Tamid Chacham, that the person was a Tamid Chacham who didn't shave his underarms. Mashma, only because he was a Tamid Chacham. Mashma, everybody else did. So if that's the case, even in the times of the Gemara, both men and women did. And yet we're still saying that it's considered lo yobash gever. So the Rashba says it's not so simple to say that men should be allowed to. No. If I care, we're going to get to the story. We'll see. Let's continue the Gemara, and then we'll see how we'll also talk about, like I said, the long shuvah where the Tzemach Tzedek analyzes this Gemara in great detail and also connects it with the whole question of removing or trimming or whatever one's beard, not with a razor. So we'll discuss that. Maybe the Gemara says, I have a contradiction on the second version of Yechonim, which is the Braith we said before, Avara Sey and a Medivah Torah and a Medivah Seifim, that removing hair is only also Midrabanan. So what are you telling me, that it's Lo Yobash Gever, which would make him Chayav Midaraisa?
We're not including the Zaken.
No, obviously not. That's the Zaken and the Chayav is a whole different. We're talking about the rest of the body. We're talking about the base. In other words, there's three different things to consider. There's the hair and the beard, which are there's explicit psukim about those. There's Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva, where conceivably it could be a matter of Lo Yobash Gever, which is what we're discussing over here. And then you have the rest of the body. So the answer is Hu De'omer Ki Hai Tana. Yes, but Rabbi Yochanan, according to the second version of Chiba Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, according to the second version, would be saying according to the following Tana. The Tana, yeah, Ma'ab Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva. This third Braita says clearly that somebody who removes the underarm of pubic hair had raised the Oivim Hashem Lo Yobash Gever Sin Lasisha. Then he's over. So that's the Raita. Well, that's what Rabbi Yochanan, according to the second version, is basing himself on. We had the first braisa we quoted also that said Hamav Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva is a loika. What do we need to bring in the third braisa for? This third braisa, Tosfos says, because this third braisa is better because it actually gives the explicit thing in the pasuk. The first braisa that said Harez a loika, again we could have said like we did in the first version of Rabbi Yochanan that it meant only Malkus Derabanan. The second one, the third braisa rather spells out that it's Deraisa, lo yobash gever. Yeah.
So why did you say it? It's a famous braisa.
Why what? So why is Rabbi Yochanan saying it?
Exactly, but fine.
The Amoraim are not necessarily expected to know all the Braises. They have to know all the Mishnayos. If an Amora says something that already says in a Mishnah, then the Gemara will ask about it. But not necessarily a Braise, because there were lots of Braises floating all around the place. In fact, the Gemara says in some places not all the Braises necessarily are so reliable either, unless they were taught by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Chiya is Beis Medrash. So yeah, you could very well have, and we have throughout Shas that an Amora will say something, and then the Gemara will quote the Gemara will quote a Braisa that says exactly the same thing. The Tanakama Hai Lo Yobash Gever Maya Dorish Bay. Fine. So what does the earlier Tana of the earlier Braisa do with Lo Yobash Gever? Doesn't he agree that you have the same issue as well? The answer is he uses the pasuk lo yobash gever to teach us what it says in the following braisa. The pasuk says lo yikli, the pasuk has two parts, lo yikli gever al, has three parts actually, lo yikli gever al isha, there's not allowed to be the implement of a man on a woman. We'll talk in a second what implements means. Lo yikli gever, there's not allowed to be the implements. So kalim has a number of meanings. It means clothing, sometimes in shach. The word kevi means clothing, but it also means implements, instruments, as we're going to talk in a minute about weapons. And a man is not allowed to wear a woman's dress, woman's clothing. Because anybody who does these things is disgusting to Hashem. That's the pasuk. So, When the pasuk says "Liyichli Gavrali," "Shematam Maitam Adloy," now what does the pasuk mean? Im shal yobash ish simlas ish or ve'isha simlas ish. Does it just mean that a man is not allowed to wear women's clothes and a woman is not allowed to wear man's clothes? On the face of it, hanekra nemer toyevi. The pasuk continues. Why is it a problem? Because it is toyeva. In that case, if it's just a man wearing a woman's clothing, or vice versa, but other than that, they look like their regular gender. They're just wearing, let's say, one item of clothing of the opposite gender. That's not Tayeva on the face of it. Tayeva would imply that there's a problem with znus, or Rashi says there could be a problem with yichud.
Well, they wear their own clothes, and they wear something that...
Let's say they wear one thing that belongs to the opposite gender, yeah.
For instance.
So let's say, I don't know, you have a man who's wearing a pants and a shirt, and in addition, over the pants, let's say he's wearing a skirt. So that's not Tayeva. There's no, the Tayeva means either that it can lead to znus, or that it can lead, Rashi says it can lead to yichud. Neither of these things would apply in this case. Ella, what it means is, it means a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing in order to go sit among the women. Like he's going to dress up completely like a woman, and then go and sit among the women. Yes, exactly, because then, so Rashi says, there could be a potential problem of yichud over there, which is interesting that Rashi should say that, by the way, because the concept of yichud by people who are not otherwise also to marry each other is only midrabanan anyway. We'll learn in a few months at the very end of Kiddushin that the concept of yichud penuya was a gzera from the times of David HaMelech after the whole affair of Amnon and Tamar. So then why according to Rashi, why would the pasuk be telling us that you're not allowed to cross dress because it may lead to yichud when yichud itself is on the opposite rabbanon? Unless maybe Rashi means
he doesn't say
penuyah. So okay, maybe he's talking about the yichud. Maybe he's talking about the yichud with neishas ish. Let's say could be. Anyway, that's Rashi. The Rosh says rather that the issue is more that you'll come to znus. If you have a man among women, there's going to end up being znus. The isha simlas isha v'teisha bein ha'anoshim, and vice versa, a woman is not allowed to wear men's clothes and go sit among the men. Same problem. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov continues and says, minayim shleitet isha v'klei zayim l'mochama. How do we know that a woman is not allowed to go to war carrying weapons? Tamad loim ala yikli gever al isha v'la yirash gever simlas isha. Tamad loim ala yikli gever al isha. The word kli includes not just clothing, it also includes instruments, as in...
Wait, relax.
Before we get to contemporary times, Rashi points out an interesting thing in this regard. We know from Sefer Shoftim, the story of the Asarot Parshas B'Shalach, how Yael killed Sisera. What did she do? She didn't take a sword and chop his head off. What did she do? She took a peg from the tent and hammered it into his head and killed him. Why? Rashi says that's exactly it. Because you're thinking of Yehudis with Holofernes over there.
Right.
But that's different. Okay, then she didn't have anything else available. Fine, it's a matter of the Koach Nefesh. Here, in this case, Mephoshim point out, Sisera was sleeping. So one point is Sisera was sleeping. It's not like she was in a hurry to find something to kill him with. She had the time to be able to go look. Another Mephoshim also points out even more than that. The point is, why Bechlal, in Yehudis' case, for example, Yehudis is not in Tanakh anyway, so how reliable the details of the story are is open to question anyway. But besides that, in that case, there was a sword available because she's in the general's tent and he has a sword with him. In our case over here with Yael and Sisera, why wasn't there a sword around? Because a woman is not allowed to be carrying men's instruments, including swords. So therefore, she didn't have one around. So now when she needed to kill Sisera, that's all she had available, was a peg and a hammer.
Even in time of war, she's not allowed to wear
it. So what happened in times of war? So in times of war is different. That's the same. That's the part over here. With Sisera, she had to kill him, obviously. It was to save the whole Jewish people. But it wasn't like she had only seconds to react. She had time to react. He's sleeping over there. So therefore, she had time like this. So again, if there was no sword available, then that's part of it. There's no sword available because anyway, she's not allowed to use one. But... even if there was one available, the point is she picked to use a peg and a hammer because that way she's not over on the Yodosh Geber. And mind you, actually, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said an interesting idea. He wants to say, actually, based on an analysis of the Pesukim, that Yael may not have even been a Jewish woman anyway. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we talked about Aveiro Lishma, how Sisera had relations with her multiple times, and how she was a Tadesis and all. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, based on an analysis of the Pesukim, you could say very simple. She was actually a Ger Toshev. She wasn't a Ger Tzedek, and she wasn't a born Jew or a Ger Tzedek anyway. So in that case, then this whole issue doesn't really apply.
Her husband was a Kenyan, no?
So her husband was a Kenyan, which means one of the descendants of Yisrael, but, I guess Rabbi Yaakov Emden is taking the view that not necessarily all the descendants of Yisrael converted and became Jews. I guess he takes the view. Some of them became Gerim, some of them only became Gerit Toshev. And she and her husband may have been from among them.
The Jewish descendant of Yisrael?
Yeah, they claim to be. I don't know if they really are. Anyway. So what happens in times of danger? So times of danger is different. The Sefer Chassidim tells, for example, how in times of danger there would be Jewish women, for example, who put on fake mustaches and beards, or even men's clothing or whatever, and if necessary carry weapons in order to protect themselves from attacks by goyim from pogrom. Fine, that's different. Nowadays, you're asking about women who serve in the army. I mean, b'chol, many of the poskim took a pretty dim view of women serving in the army anyway because of tznius issues. With that said, though, I mean, if they have to carry guns or what have you for self-defense or whatever, you know, especially with recent events in Eretz Yisrael, that's different. We're not talking about that. That would be a lot. It's a matter of pikuach nefesh. Okay. Okay. Anyway, then to continue the braisa, when it says that a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing, it includes shelo yitakin ish b'tikunei isha. It means also that a man is not allowed to groom his body in the way using the kinds of things that women do. So it includes, for example, Rashi adds, for example, besides clothing, it also includes, for example, putting on makeup. And that's the reason why we're bringing this in over here is because it also includes shaving the Beis HaShechi and the Beis HaErev. The cologne is a bit of an issue. I mean, if it's a cologne that's made for men, then that's a different thing. I mean, the truth is, the Gemara mentions in a few places that Zignai for a Talmid Chacham could go out to in the marketplace wearing perfume, implying that it's a problem for a Talmid Chacham, but it's not necessarily a problem for the average person. I mean, if you need it in order to prevent body odor, I guess, or whatever, is different. Yeah. Anyway. So what do we get out of this so far? So we see we have a couple of different opinions about removing the Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErev here. So like I said, the Tzemach has a long tshuva where he analyzes this in some detail. And then in turn, there's also an interesting thing in Igros Kodesh of the Rebbe. There's one of the Rebbe's early writings was apparently the Friedrich Rebbe had asked him to look this over and write notes on it. So he wrote a bunch of notes on it. Wrote some lengthy notes on this tshuva on this long tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek, Yerodeya Simen Tzedek Gimel. The Tzemach Tzedek starts out by analyzing our Gemara, which is not talking about the beard, it's talking about Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErev. The one thing is, what are we saying so far? We're saying that the Beis HaShechi, Beis HaErev, especially according to the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, is also Daraisa. On the other hand, we had Rav saying that it's Mutter. When we said maybe Kain Tyre is Mutter according to Rav. So now the Rambam writes that, so we said, as far as Beis HaShechi, Beis HaErev, so you have the different opinions of the poskim that we discussed before. Then returning now to the beard, where also you have tar versus anything else. We mentioned before, previously in the Gemara, that tar is also daraisa. So what about other things? So the Rambam writes that with the beard, if you're not using a tar, then you're potter. Now what does that mean? The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam takes that to mean, usually we say potter avalosser. However, the Kesef Mishnah takes it to mean actually potter and your mutter. Your mutter to use anything other than a razor. However, the Tzemach Tzedek, at some length, takes a very strong issue with the Kesef Mishnah on that, and says that, no, potter means fine. Potter, you're not chayav malchus for it, but at least not for mitzad lois hashchis hasachik anecha. But it would still be, at the very least, also the Rabbanan. And then if we're bringing in over here this business about lo yubash gever, so the Tzemach Tzedek explains like this. Okay, you can't argue that, I mean, let's put it this way. Obviously, women don't shave their beards because women don't have beards. But when the Talmudic argues, if a man is to use a razor on his beard, or anything that gives a really close shave, which therefore can come in with certain kinds of scissors also, we just said scissors can be cane tar, then what you have is he's doing it. One idea is he's doing it in order to look more youthful, like women do. Women naturally look more youthful because than their age because they don't have a beard. And a man who shaves his beard is doing it also in order to appear youthful like that. Some said it draws a certain analogy between it and another din which the Gemara talks about in Shabbos, for example, that a man who has some white hairs is not allowed to pull them out. He has some white hairs in his beard, let's say, or in his hair, is not allowed to pull them out, so he still looks young. That's the difference. That's again, lo yorashkever. So that's the Samachetic has a very long discussion arguing that the same thing applies over here also.
No other possible intent.
It's not only a matter of intent. I mean, for example, here we're talking about Beis HaShechi or Beis HaEver. I mean, if a man is shaving Beis HaShechi or Beis HaEver, it's not only necessarily in order to look like women. Nevertheless, though, it has that effect.
But for the beard.
For the beard, that's the thing. The Masechet is arguing that it does have that effect. The fact of the matter is, regardless whether he's doing it in order to appear useful or for some other reason, and the fact remains, he still is doing something that makes him more like women in that regard, and therefore would be a problem of lo yabashker.
That means removing the whole beard?
That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about trimming the beard, let's say, and leaving some of the length of it. That's a different matter. That's al pi kabbalah, there's issues with that. But al pi halacha, there's much less issue with that. We're talking about a fairly close shave. Yeah. And with that said, I mean, there's also, by the way, there's a tshuva from the Minchas Avodah, where he goes and analyzes the whole issue in further detail, because there's somebody who had written in one of the Torah journals of those times, had written a long argument against what the Tzemachetik says over there, and the Minchas Avodah basically writes a whole thing to prove that this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. One funny thing he mentions in there, the Minchas Avodah, he says this person mentioned in his article, he says, if this idea of the Tzemachetik and this tshuva is really accepted lahalacha, how come, for example, he says the Chochma Sodom and the Bar Hetiv, the great Mephoreshim on Shulchan Aruch, how come they didn't quote him? And the Minchas Avodah is very simple. You got the wrong Tzemachetik. You're thinking this is the original Tzemach Tzedek, or Menachem Mendel of Nicholsburg, who lived about 400 years ago in the times of the Taz and the Shach. Yes, you would expect the Bar Hetiv and the Chochma Sodom to quote him. We're talking about Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch, who lived after those guys. Of course they don't quote him. Minchas Elazar was a very sharp kind of guy, yeah. So anyway, he writes in his tshuva very strongly supporting this idea of the Tzemach Tzedek and bringing additional proofs to from various places in Shach.
Still remains that in some parts of Brooklyn, there's very religious people
shaving. So there are other poskim who deal with the issue. There are, for example, there's a known shuvah from Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, where he deals with the issue, and he says that indeed, but the same way as he only ate Chol of Yisrael, but he wrote the famous shuvah about Chol of Sam, the same thing as far as a heter for shaving. That he describes over there that many kinds of shavers. The way that they operate is functionally equivalent to scissors, and therefore if you say that a shaver is considered the equivalent of a tire, then of course you have a problem, because a tire is definitely also midaraisa and so would a shaver. If you say that it's more like scissors, then you get into the question over here of whether scissors are in fact also, whether it is an issue of layuba shaver or not.
The shavers appearing like a woman.
So that's
As you said, that's another issue.
Okay, it is another issue, but, how does Rav Moshe deal with this?
Yes.
First of all, then, part of it is, if you, and actually Rebbe deals with this in his notes also, it depends what you're using. If you're using something that leaves over a little bit of hair, remember, a tire, the idea is, a tire is sort of like the lift and cut shaver that they have nowadays. It's sort of the equivalent of that. It not only cuts, I've been saying up until now, last all the previous times we talked about a tire that cuts down to the skin level, it actually cuts below the skin level a little bit. It pulls on the skin and therefore gets a little bit of the hair below the skin even. That's hashasa. So the argument is, therefore, that many of the present-day shavers are not the lift-and-cut ones, obviously, but many of the present-day ones are not like that. There's this little screen between the blades and your skin, and therefore in that sense it's more like a scissors, and it doesn't literally cut below the skin, it leaves a 5 o'clock shadow, for example, or something less than that, whatever, then it's still not like a woman.
And if it is a mustache,
so it's a dog. Maybe.
Okay, but I mean, can you say that it's not like a woman if it's microscopic? I mean,
no, but there's something visible there. I mean, so that's what I'm saying. The Rebbe also discusses this in his notes that on the face of it there should be that difference whether there is something visible left. The Rebbe also deals, by the way, as far as going back to this matter of Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva, based on analyzing the Tanakhic Teshuva, that the one reason why we might argue that Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva is only a problem with a razor and not with scissors is because if it's like Lo Yorbash Gever, then it has to be the way that women usually do it. Women use razors on those parts of their body. They don't use scissors. So therefore, men using scissors is not necessarily doing Lo Yorbash Gever.
It's the way you do it.
So then I guess by the same logic then would be, according, I guess, in Rav Moshe's Teshuva, would be the same kind of thing. If we say that a shaver is functionally the equivalent of scissors, then it would be a similar sort of idea. Then you're not using a razor, which therefore would end up, again, it's not literally the way women do it because women don't have beards to shave, but that's the thing. With scissors, of necessity, sort of, there's something left over. It's not exactly the same way. But yeah, that's, you know, the like I said, it's an aesthetic that deals with this at great length, and that's the conclusion that he reaches. Then besides that, he says there's the issues of api kabbalah and everything.
Api kabbalah
that you shouldn't even trim your beard, let alone shave it. Which, I mean, there's a discussion about that also. The Chassam Sofer brings in one of his chuvas. That the Rambam Ifano, one of the great Mekubalim a few hundred years ago, lived in Italy, and he used to shave his beard, and that there may be a difference in that regard between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. But then later on, the Minchas Elazar, I think, deals with that also in his Tshuva, and he says that actually the Rambam Ifano is known to have grown his beard. The Rambam Ifano, Menachem Azari Ifano, a great Mekubalim about 400 years ago. Yeah. So in that case, maybe, so he did grow his beard, so in that case, maybe the Chassam Sofer meant somebody else, not him. Whatever, like I said, there was a great deal of back and forth on this whole issue.
So the halacha is,
so it really depends who you ask. I mean, you can have, you know, you have that gigantic Sefer Hadras Ponim Zaken, where also, you know, there's excerpts of it that are always being passed out as leaflets. That pointing out that api halacha it is also to shave with any kind of shaver. But you're mentioning that all over Brooklyn and beyond you do have Yirei Mushleimim who do shave their beards. Okay, you know they're basing themselves on Rav Moshe's Heter or other similar such things. Which I mean, they're all supposed to Machronim will point out that shaver technology itself keeps on evolving. Not necessarily the shavers that Rav Moshe was talking about or Chassam Sofer was talking about in his time are not necessarily the kind that there are nowadays. So there is. You can find whole websites. One called Kosher Shaver, for example, that has all kinds of instructions. If you have a lift and cut shaver, for example, how do you modify it so you're not over an Easter every time you shave with it? You know. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, going back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, b'nazir mutter. In the case of a nazir, he is mutter. V'lot hilchos hakavasei, however, the halacha is not like him. Now, what do we mean by a nazir is mutter? So Tosfos and the Rosh both explain that it means that at a nazir, when he's shaving at the end of his nazirus, at that point, if he wants to also shave off his Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, then he's allowed to. Why? Because if the idea is normally you would shave it off in order to look nice or because it would be Yorbash Gever or whatever, but here he's shaving the hair of his head also, and now at the end he's just going to be completely bald or completely hairless all over, that's not a Kodi, that doesn't make him look nice. So therefore, you should argue with Mutter. I really was saying, let's help say the halacha is not like him. A nazir has the same issue as everybody else. Granted, his hair is bald, his head is bald at this point, but he still has the same issue of Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva as everybody else. The other possibility we're first going to talk about is that Rav Nachman may be talking about during his nazirus. Even though we know the nazir is not allowed to shave or cut his hair during his nazirus, Rav Nachman will be saying, but he is allowed to shave his Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva. But we're saying the less say that the halacha is not like that. But again, he has the same issue as everybody else. The Rabbanon once asked Rav Shimon Bahaba, the less lay, we saw that Rav Yochanan does not have. He doesn't have underarm hair, and the Rosh adds he also didn't have Beisa'er hair. So now Rav Yochanan himself had said, according to the first version, that it's also the Rabbanon to shave it, and according to the second version, that it's also even the Daraisa. So how is it that he himself doesn't have? Which now Tosfos says, why couldn't they answer? Okay, he used scissors. So therefore Tosfos says, based on that, you see, even Rabbi Yochanan would say that even with scissors it's also Dirabanan. And this is also what the Tzemach Tzedek brings in his struggle over there, based on that. If we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, we do Rav Rabbi Yochanan, halacha to Rabbi Yochanan, then it means that even shaving with scissors can be a problem. Yeah. At least Midrabanan. The Rosh gives a different practical answer. You can't. It's hard to get really that close a cut with scissors. They could see, I guess, when they were in the mikveh or whatever, they could see that Rabbi Yochanan had no hair there at all, which implies that he didn't use scissors. How is it? He can't use a tie. That according to him would be obvious. That's the answer. He answered them. Mahmas zikna nashu. They fell out because of old age. Rabbi Yochanan looked to be quite old. There's actually in Seder Adaris it brings from some sefer, I don't remember which one, that Rabbi Yochanan lived to be, I think, 300 or 400 years old. But that's, I don't know how oiskahalten that is, but there is definitely evidence that he lived to be over 100 years old. He was alive in the times of Rebbe, and he lived for he was a young boy in the times of Rebbe, and he was still alive many, many decades after that. So, that's the answer.
We don't know how old he was when he was
doing. No, but he must have been very old, yeah. Okay, another case, Havudis Chayev Negidja Kamed Rav Ami. It happened once that somebody was Chayev Malkus in Rav Ami's Beis Din, Iglai Beis HaShechi, and his underarm became uncovered because they give Malkus about a bare skin, so they had to take off his shirt. As they're taking off his shirt, or as they're starting to do the Malkus, Chaz Yudalei Megaleach, Rav Ami saw that this person was not shaving his underarms. Amalayin Rav Ami Shivkua. So Rav Ami says to them, you know what, leave him alone. This person is a chaver. He's a Talmud Chacham because he doesn't shave his underarm. This goes back to what I've mentioned before that the Rashba says. How can Rav Shuda go and say that you're allowed to shave your underarm, your Beis HaShechi and Beis HaEra, because nowadays both men and women do it? We see that in this time also everybody did it except for only the Talmud Chachamim refrained from it. And yet we see, the Gemara said before that's considered Tikkun Asia. So what is he saying? What is he saying? Leave him alone. There's a few different possibilities that the Farshim talk about. One is, given that he's a Talmud Chacham, this can't have been real Malkus, because real Malkus you need to have a Sanhedrin, and they didn't have that in Rabbani's time. It was a couple hundred years after the Churban. So it has to be Makas Maudus. And Makas Maudus, as we said before, is at the discretion of the Beis Din. If somebody is over on Issa D'Rabbanan, then the Beis Din has discretion to give him Malkus until he does Tshuva and does the right thing. Here, where Rav Ami is saying, oh, I see, he's a Talmud Chacham, then he doesn't need the Malkus Malkus. He'll know from now on to do the right thing. Other Mephoshim talk about now that he's been embarrassed a bit by getting ready for it, or maybe even they started. I think Rav Yaakov Emden talks about that maybe he means, not Shivkur, doesn't mean leave him alone, don't give him Malkus at all, but don't be so hard on him, give him fewer Malkus than we were originally planning to. And then they also talk about the possibility, the Gemara talks in a few places about if a Talmud Chacham needs to be punished with Malkus versus with Malkus or with Cherem, which one is worse? And one idea is if you need Malkus, you need all the Chachamim to agree. So Rav Ami figured in that case, well, we didn't get all the Chachamim to agree. Now we know he's a Talmud Chacham, so therefore we better leave him alone until we can convene everybody to decide whether we really need him.
Who said that?
I don't remember who gives that explanation. Rav asked Rav Chia the question, Ma'u legaleach, are you allowed to shave the Beis HaShechi and Beis HaEra and Beis HaEra? Amalei also. So Rav Chia tells him you're also. Which, before we go further, by the way, Mefarshim points out, if Rav Chia is telling him he's also, then how is Rav saying before, Meko Kol Gufo D'Tayr, at the beginning of our Sugya? He's not going to contradict what Rav Chia tells him. So Rashi over here says that the question was actually he's asking about using scissors, So Tosfos explains over here that's not what it means. He's asking about shaving using a razor, Rav Chiya is telling him no. Well, very well. That's why he said before that you can only use Mitzvadayim Kain Tar. Or, again, that depends on the two different Girsas we had at the beginning of the Sovia. If the Girsa was that even Rav himself has to agree that you're not allowed to shave the base of Shechi or base of Ever with anything, not scissors and not a razor, and it's only the rest of the body, then yes, Rav Chiya could be talking about scissors. He could have been asking Rav Chiya about scissors. Rav Chiya tells him no. And therefore, okay, good. He says, Kogel play meaning except for that. Yeah.
Okay.
If it's the first version, then he could mean that Rav Chiya told him you can't use a razor, but you can use scissors. Amalei, so Rav asked him, Havak or Gadol, isn't the hair going to keep on growing? Eventually it's going to get very uncomfortable. Amalei, so Rav Chiya tells him, Bar Pachsi, son of great people. Rashi translates Bar Pachsi as Bnei Shel Tamid Chacham. In most other places, Rashi translates, Tosfos translates, that Pachsi means a great, noble people. Rav was descended from a very important family. We learned in Kuvus that family, they were able to trace their lineage back to David HaMelech.
Is the family of Rav?
Yes. And Rav Chiya was his uncle. The Bar Pachsi, Zman Yeshloi. No, the hair has a certain time limit. There's only a certain amount that it grows. Kol Zman Shu Gadol Moshe. Gradually, after a while, after it's grown to a certain length, it falls out. So you're never going to have, if you don't shave your armpits or your base or whatever, it's not going to grow indefinitely. Eventually, any individual hair there is going to grow to a certain length and then fall out. And then the next one, and then a new one will replace it. So therefore, even if you don't shave, it won't be so uncomfortable. Therefore, we have no reason to shave. Which actually, this is also Tosfos discusses over here, again, according to the two gear size that we had before. What's Rav asking exactly? If we're saying that you can't use a razor but you can use scissors, then what's Rav's problem? Just use the scissors and you'll be good. So that's a proof towards the idea that he was actually asking Rav Chiya about scissors as well, and Rav Chiya tells him no, and in that case he asks, well, won't you get uncomfortable? Bomine Rav min Abchia. So now Rav asks Abchia another related question. Ma'ul lochuch. Okay, we got now. You can't cut off or shave off the hair in Beis Hashechi or Beis Ha'eva using anything. Not using a tire and according to the halachos gedolos, and also not using scissors. What about ma'ul lochuch? Are you allowed to rub it in order to? Are you allowed to just rub with your hand under your armpit to make the hair fall out? Amalei also. So he says it's also. Because again, you have the same issue. Ultimately, it's lo yobash gever. You're accomplishing the same thing. By the way, Mefarshim talk about the question, is he only asking about the Beis Ha'eva? Is he only talking about the Beis Hashechi, or is he also talking about the Beis Ha'eva? Because the Beis Ha'eva, you might have a different issue. B'chlal, touching that area is very much frowned on in halacha anyway, because it can lead to hear her and whatever. So therefore, you might argue that he's only asking about the Beis Hashechi. He has no reason to ask about the Beis Ha'eva because he has no business putting your hand down there anyway. On the other hand, Mefarshim talk about the pros and cons of that. Maybe you're allowed to. Maybe you're allowed to. You're not allowed to touch the actual Eivorim themselves, the Gid and the Basin, but you are allowed above there, which is where their hair. Okay.
And wash it.
Well, okay, but even then, you're not really supposed to handle it much. The Zigdai Mahu, he asks him, okay, what about, are you allowed to rub using your clothes, to rub the armpit through the clothes to make the hair fall out? So he says that you're allowed to, because there you're not actually touching the hair, you're doing it indirectly. And some of Foshim point out, also the vort is, that if you're doing it through the clothing, then it's not going to tear it out by the roots anyway. It's not going to make it quite so close as when women do it, and therefore it'd be mutter. Ikadami, another version of the last.
So if that's mutter, why not the scissors?
Because the scissors you could do misfarayim kain tar. You can't really do clothes kain tar. And besides, the scissors you're actually touching the actual hairs. Here you're not touching them directly. It's more of an indirect thing. Ikadamri, another version, is that the last question that Ravan asked of Chiya is Bominei B'Tfilah. He asked him, what about during Shema Esrei, the Zigdai Mai, are you allowed to scratch yourself through your clothing? Or Rashi says, actually, Well, so Rashi says, actually, the question is really, if you have lice on your clothing, are you allowed to rub your clothing while you're davening Shemoneh Esrei to get the lice off? Also, so he says that's also, according to Tosfos, it's also, though it's still rather about the Beis HaShechi and Beis HaEra. Amalei also, so Rav Chiya tells him it's also, however, on that, the left hills of the Kabbalah, the halacha is not like him, so you are allowed to rub on your clothes, well, especially if you have lice, but b'chlal, even if you're itchy, during Shemoneh Esrei, you're not allowed to rub, you're not allowed to scratch it directly, so you're not allowed to, b'chlal, you're not allowed to touch the covered parts of your body during davening. If you do, you have to wash, but you can rub it through your garments, yeah, if it's really distracting you from davening, yeah. Mishnah says, so continuing from the previous, from the case of the previous Mishnah. So again, in the previous Mishnah, we had two Nazirim. One of them became Tomei. We don't know which one. And so we said, each of them shaves and brings a Korban, and each of them shaves and together they bring a Korban Tumah and Korban Tara, and then they wait 30 days, they shave again, and they bring a Korban Tara. That's all if they're still alive. So far, so good. You can do that. Mess Echad Mehen, what do you do if one of them dies? I'm going to be sure. Yivakesh echem in ashuk shiyidu kenegdim in nazir. What you do is the surviving nazir should find somebody from the street who is willing to become a nazir parallel to him, to make up, to fill in for this person who died. But Omer, and you say, im tameh, you see how that's a nazir yad, you make a stipulation as follows. If I was tameh, then you become a nazir right away. And that way, in a month's time, when we do our shaving, I'll be shaving as a nazir tameh, you'll be shaving as a nazir tahar, and we'll bring the korbanos. Being Torah, you see, whereas if I was Torah, had I had another, achas shloshim yem, then you're not becoming another now, you're going to agree to become another only in 30 days. Way. That's that, yeah. The sofer in shloshim, then they count 30 days, and we're in korban tumah of a korban tara, they bring a korban tumah of a korban tara, but Omer, and you say, if I was the one who was tomei, korban tumah shall be the korban tara shall chod, and the korban tumah is mine, the korban tara is yours, yeah, same thing, the other person is filling in for the dead another. The maniu atoro korban tara should have a korban tumah of suffik. The sofer shloshim yom, they count 30 days, and we'll be in korban tara. They bring the korban tara for omer, and you make the same stipulation. The maniu atome korban tumah should have a korban tara shalcha. If I was the one who was tome, then the original korban tumah was mine, and the korban tara was yours. For zek korban tara rossi, and now this korban that we're bringing now is for my nazirus. The maniu atoro, and if I was the one who was tahor all this time, korban tara shali, the korban tumah b'safik, then the korban tara is mine, and the korban tumah, it turns out, was brought as a safik. Rezo korban tara oscha, and then this one that we're bringing now is a korban for your tara, because mine was last month. Okay. Amaloi ben zoyma, so ben zoyma says to Rabbi Shura, like you just said, mishameh shayudu connected ben nazir, how are you going to find somebody who's going to agree to that, who's going to want to become a nazir voluntarily parallel to him, especially because we're not even talking about male. If the guy was going to become a nazir for 30 days, okay, you know what happens, people take it on. But here, he's going to be a nazir for 60 days, or whatever, two terms of nazirus, depending on how long the original term was, and one of them, it turns out, is not even going to be a real nazirus. It's going to be 30 days of, in the first scenario, what is he saying? He's saying, if I was Tomei, then you become a nazir right away. If I wasn't Tomei, you're only becoming a nazir in 30 days. So what does that mean? The first 30 days, the poor guy can't cut his hair, can't drink wine, can't drink a camel mess, and he might not even be a nazir. Who's going to do such a thing? Ella, no, what you do is as follows. Maybe chata sa'ofa olas behema, what the one surviving nazir should do is like this. He will bring a chata, he'll bring a bird chatas, which is what he would bring if he was tamei. For olas behema, and he brings an ola of an animal, which, now, that's the bare minimum that he needs. The survivor. So what is it? He needs, when it comes to the korbanos, let's remember, the korbanos tumah consists of two birds, one for an ola and one for a chatas, and a sheep for an asham. The korbanos tara consists of three animals, one each of an ola, a chatas, and an asham. And not an asham, a shlomim. So, in the case of birds, now we've learned before in the Masechta that, and we've touched on this before, that bird korbanos can be brought ala sofik. A chatas ha'oif can be brought ala sofik. So you're able to bring a chatas ha'oif just in case. If I was tamei, then it's a chatas ha'oif, and if not, then it's just it's been killed unnecessarily. Fine, the kohen won't eat it, but that's not essential to the Yes, you can't bring animal korban. An animal korban, the only one that's brought ala sofik is an asham tamei, and that's defined as being ala sofik. Yes. So Tosfos points out that actually, I mean, the guy can bring the olos to olif as well. Fine, he can bring the brood olif, but that's not a problem. The brood olif can be voluntary, or it can be it's required. So you bring an olos to olif, we don't bother mentioning it, but it's not important. The point is, you need to. We learned before, machlokas, where the halacha was that you only need one of the korbanos in order to be yotze, and you can bring the rest of them another time when you get around to it. So therefore, you need one korban from each set. So fine, from the first set, you could do the ola, but you do the chatas, the ola safik. You can't do the osham because an osham you can't bring out a safik. From the second set, in order to have one korban that you'll be able to do a valid hair cutting with, you bring the ola. Again, I mean, theoretically, you could bring the shlomi. The first set you bring the chatas, and the second set you bring the shlomi. The ola, yeah. The omer, and you say as follows, if Tommy or you see...
Anybody can also bring off
suffix? An ola for payment, there's no question of suffix or not. Either way, an ola you can bring voluntarily. You can't bring a chatos or an osham voluntarily, but you can bring an ola or a shlomim voluntarily. So he does that. The omer, and he says, if Tommy or you see, if I was Tommy to begin with, a chatos mechevasi va ola nadava, then the chatos is what I owe, that what I have to bring as part of my korbanos tumah, and the ola will just be a voluntary ola. You see, and if I was Tahor all along, then the Ola will be what I'm obligated to as a Nazir Tahor, and that way I can shave and start and then start my next Naziris. The Achatas is Suffolk, and the Achatas Oif will be a Suffolk, which fine, Achatas Oif can be brought by a Suffolk. And then he counts 30 days, and maybe Korban Tara, and he brings the Korban Tara for Omer, and he says, "Im Tomei Oyisi, if I was originally Tomei, Ha'ola Rishonim Nadava Vazuchayvah, and the original Ola that I brought was voluntary, and this one is the obligatory one as a Nazir Tara, the Im Tahor Oyisi, and if I was Tahor all along, so the second time around was for nothing, Ha'ola Rishonichayvah Vazun Nadava, then the rest of the original Ola was a Chayvah, was the obligatory one, the second one is a Nadava, Vizur Shah Korbani, and now I'll bring the rest of my Korbanas Tara."
Can you put Naim on Korbanas?
Yes, you can, that's what we're saying. However, Amr Rabbi Yeshua, Sir Rabbi Yeshua says, the problem with that is Nimsa Zen maybe Korbanos and Hatsoyim. Then it comes out this person is bringing his Korbanas piecemeal. According to that, if it comes out that he was Tahor the whole time, he brought his Ola a month ago, and now he's first bringing his Shlomim and his Shlomim and his Chatas, yeah? Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. However, the Chachamim agreed with Ben Zoma that this is the way to do it. Okay, you're bringing it piecemeal. Fine, but you don't really have a choice. Mela, in the first Mishnah, by the way, you don't do it that way because in the first Mishnah you have an alternative. You have another Nazir over there, so you might as well do it the way the first Mishnah had outlined it. You don't have another Nazir, so therefore the less greater we get. Yeah. Okay, but you want to ask the Lifey, so what's the problem? What's Rabbi Yeshua's problem? So what? You bring your Korbanos piecemeal. And?
Does he mean let him bring?
Yes, that's the question. Let him bring. Well, so what? Rabbi Yeshua is saying, I don't like your idea of Ben Zoma because now you're bringing the Ola now and you're bringing the rest of the Korbanos a month later.
So,
you're right. Rabbi Yeshua, Elul Chabad Bar Tamidim. Actually, Rabbi Yeshua only said this in order to sharpen the Tamidim. Meaning Rabbi Yeshua knew that his objection to Ben Zoma is not really a valid objection. But he wanted to show his Talmidim that they should realize how you work in learning. It's worth it bringing up an objection, even this is how Rashi explains it. It's worth it bringing up an objection, even if you know that it's a baseless objection, in order that don't be embarrassed to bring up something, even if everybody else might think that you're silly for bringing it up or whatever.
The Rebbe did that.
Yeah.
The Rebbe did that.
Yes.
So he wants us to bring what?
To bring up something that even though on the face we know that it's not really Oystehalten, that's not, you know, but just to show us, don't be embarrassed to bring up an idea even though it may be shot down.
It's not misleading.
No, that's the point. That's what Chabad Baruch Hashem. This is what everything is in Hoch Tamantara too. Amr of Nachman, my levit may Rabbi Yeshua the Dake Jaloy Listu. What should Rabbi Yeshua do about his dake that they shouldn't spoil? Now, what does that mean? Mefarshim have a field day trying to explain this, last line. Tosfos starts by saying that Rav Nachman is saying that, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have a problem. If you're going to have to... If, so, let's go back to Rabbi Yeshua's idea in the Mishnah, that you're going to have to find somebody else to become a conditional Nazir along with you. What's going to happen at the end? When you're bringing the Korbanos, you're going to have the two of them are going to have to shave before the Korbanos can be finished being brought. We learned before that the Korbanos are brought in the order of Chatas, Ola, and Shlomim. So the Ola is only being brought after the Chatas, and during that time, the both of them have to shave. So meanwhile, the fat of the Ola, which is supposed to, the fat of the Shlomim, rather, has to be raised together with the loaves of bread and whatever. Meanwhile, it may spoil. Now, according to that explanation, then what's Rabbi Nachman's problem? We just said that Rabbi Yeshua didn't really have a serious objection. He was just pointing it out because he wanted to show the topic of don't be embarrassed. So okay, they say that maybe Rabbi Nachman hadn't heard that explanation. Maybe he thought that Rabbi Yeshua really meant what he said in the Mishnah. And in that case, if they have a problem, wouldn't they spoil in that time?
It's not a problem. It's the credit shlamim is.
Well, that's what we're saying. When you wave it, it still has to be good. Yes, yeah, spoiled. Then what are you going to do about it? So therefore, in other words, Rabbi Nachman is saying, this is how Rashi explains it. Rabbi Nachman is saying that according to Rabbi Yeshua, who's saying that I have a problem with Ben Zoma because you bring your korbanos piecemeal, but we can object according to Rabbi Yeshua's own opinion that you have a different problem. The fact is going to spoil. In the first Mishnah, In the first Mishnah, you have the two. You don't have to necessarily wait for both of them to finish shaving before you. In the first Mishnah, you have this Tosfos says you have no other way to do it because you have the both of them and you have no other reasonable way to do it. So you'll have to take your chances with the chalak spoiling. Here you have an alternative. You have Ben Zoma's alternative. So you're arguing against Ben Zoma. Well, I have an objection against you. But that would have to mean that Rabbi Nachman had not known that, in fact, Rabbi Yeshua only said "b'chadur baras hamidim," and didn't really mean it. Then Tosfos brings another possibility that it means that actually the parts of the oila are not going to be burned until after both of them have finished with their haircut. So therefore, the one oila, the pieces are going to be sitting there for a month. But Tosfos says, "What are you talking about? You don't have to wait to burn them until after they've shaved their hair. You can burn them immediately." Yeah, exactly. Before I should talk about various other possibilities, where dake, by the way, according to these various explanations, is Malashan dake, meaning the small intestines. So therefore, it refers to the fats that cover the intestines that are brought on the Mizbeach. There's various other explanations also that include there's one explanation that dake also, we don't really have time to go through all the explanations, but one interesting one that Shitta Mukubetis brings is that actually the word is not dake, but ruke. What should Rabbi Yeshua do with his spit, the ruke, with his spit, that it shouldn't spoil? Now, what does that mean? So what does that mean? One of the Mephoshim explains, we learned, with the Gemara mentioned elsewhere, that Rabbi Yeshua one time used a sharp expression against the Shammai, Boshim Yerechim Beis Shammai, whatever quotes it, Negev Zetruba, and from then on he fasted a lot, so much that his teeth turned black. So therefore, we also had a few days ago about Rabbi Shimon, yeah. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua didn't eat on a day-to-day basis. His saliva, therefore, would be very potent, as it usually is, before you eat or before you talk much. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua felt it necessary to talk, Pashat, in order to weaken his saliva and prevent it from rotting his teeth more. So therefore, Nachman is just saying in a different way. He didn't just say it l'chadav baras ha-talmidim in order to tell the talmidim something. He had a double thing in mind of it. Number one, he's being l'chadav baras ha-talmidim, showing them don't be embarrassed of bringing up even things that might be thought of as silly questions. Number two, Pashat, I'm speaking, so that way my saliva gets weakened and doesn't end up rotting my teeth.